you. Welcome to the Afternoon Jams. We are live inside the 4 o'clock hour. I am PA, joined by Big Rob.
Yes, sir.
And we got a young scholar with us from Muskegon High School, Kevonte Taylor, one of the kids who went to Africa with us just a couple months ago. He is in the building. Kevonte, how you doing, young man?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Tired today.
You tired?
Yeah.
What they doing over there? What's happening? Why you tired?
Because school just boring.
What?
What?
School boring. Come
on, man. Yeah, you wanted an honest answer, so yeah.
Yeah.
He tell me that every week.
Let me talk. We'll talk later. That's another conversation. We'll talk later. We got we're talking about suicide prevention and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get somebody that's an expert.
Heavy hitter.
Oh, a heavy hitter.
Heavy hitter.
Yeah, she's about to break it down for us. Absolutely. Very passionate about this subject. Good sister Stephanie Williams from Health West is in the building. Stephanie, how you doing today?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good. You look like you tired too, Stephanie. You and Kevonte.
Well, you know, it is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And so I chair the Suicide Prevention Coalition of Muskegon County. And yesterday was our annual remembrance walk. And so that's always in the evening. And so that went until about 8 o'clock last night.
Oh, wow.
And then this morning I was at the Partnership for Health Summit at the Delta. So that was a early start. So perhaps that's why I'm looking a little tired.
I get you. So this remembrance walk, was there a lot of people? Has there been a lot of people in Muskegon County?
So it's an annual walk. We always have a very nice turnout. It's usually between 150 to 200 community members. And it's really a time where those in the community can all gather. We all gather in solidarity to support those who have lost someone to suicide. But it's also about providing hope, as well as lifting others who could possibly be, you know, in that space and they're struggling. And it's also about awareness and breaking the stigma. So after the walk, the last part of the walk, we look at all of the signs. So people, they come, they bring signs of their loved ones. And it's a really heartfelt, you know, really heartfelt day. We will have those signs up at the mental health center now that the walk is over. So we'll have those signs up for the remainder of the month of September.
Is those the signs you have out, like out on the sidewalk?
Yeah. So those signs are memorials almost. Those are the lives that were lost to suicide that we want to remember. And so it sends a pretty impactful, you know, message and a reminder that, you know, we, for one, that these individuals were part of our community and they were special to us. They, their family members, it supports the family members, because when someone dies by suicide, it impacts everybody, the whole community, the families, and oftentimes families feel alone. They feel othered. There's a lot of stigma and shame associated with these things. And so that's really what the month is about.
Wow. So Stephanie, drug overdose, is that been classified as suicide now?
It depends on the type of overdose. Sometimes people do die by suicide intentionally because they have chosen to in their lives by overdosing. So, and sometimes it's when it's that kind of situation, sometimes it's hard to tell if it was an actual overdose or if the person intentionally died that way. Same thing with single person car crashes. You just, you know, sometimes there's you wonder if that was the case. But there are some tools and training and things like that that people can get And I'm actually going to be facilitating a training, a virtual training tonight. You may have heard of QPR, but that is the question, persuade, refer training. That's a suicide skills training. And it kind of gives a lot of tools around recognizing when someone is in pain and knowing how to look for those signs and clues and knowing how to intervene. And so a lot of times people are using substances so that they can cope. And so that's a sign that they may not be doing well. Doesn't mean that they're, you know, suicidal or anything like that. But the more signs that you can observe about those that you're in contact with, the better you'll be equipped to kind of check in on them and, you know, ask them those questions about how they're doing.
Wow. Stephanie Williams is here from Health West. We're live on radio 103.7 to be and live on social media. I got another question, then I'm coming to you, Big Rob, and then I'm coming to a young kid from Muskegon High School. He's gonna ask you the most important question, the most intelligent question. Trust me, he's been waiting for this. So we're looking forward to Kevontae asking his question in a second. Statistics, how are we looking? Are we down? Are we up? What are your thoughts?
We in Muskegon County, our suicide statistics are rising. Unfortunately, our numbers for young people are rising as well. And we just had a meeting last week with the ISD, public health, and some other community members to put our heads together to collaborate and see what we can do to get on top of the problem, because we do believe that we now meet the criteria for the CDC's cluster. Wow. Or people used to refer to it as contagion suicide for young people, because we have had so many in a short period of time.
When you say so many, can you quantify that? Do you have a number?
So the number, we don't have all the current numbers right now, but we do know that in one area of the county, we have lost 4 young people, which would be high school, early college age students just this year. And then last year, there was the same situation where we lost 3 as well in this. And those 3 were also young, I would say teenager all the way to early college age, to like 20, 21 years old.
Wow. Go ahead, Big Rob.
What are some of the signs we should be looking for if we see somebody and maybe think that maybe that's what they're thinking?
Right. So we wish that people would just flat out tell us, right? But that's never going to happen. And so that's why there are these subtle things that we can try and look for. So there are things about their behavior that could have changed. So maybe they are isolating, they don't want to be around others, or other people are concerned about their mood. Maybe they're feeling low, or maybe they're angry. A lot of times, if a person is depressed, it doesn't always look like what we would typically think, like a person just crying on the couch all day. It could look like anger and aggression as well. Other things that we can look for are those things that can impact us in life. So every individual is, we're all on this spectrum in our mental health, right? From doing ultimately well, all the way to we're not doing so well, depending on what's going on in our lives. And no one is immune from it, right? Because we can all, you know, go through tragic situations. We could lose people we love. People can have situations where they are fired. I mean, these things can be really traumatic for an individual, and especially if there's other things that's not going well for that person. So any situation where something have, you know, impacted a person that could be particularly traumatizing, that could be a sign that we need to check in on that person to see how they're doing.
Well, Stephanie Williams here from the Health West. We're talking about suicide awareness. We're going up to Kevontae Taylor, who just got back from Ghana, West Africa, back in July, who's back in school in Muskegon Public Schools. Kevontae, what is your question for Ms. Stephanie Williams?
Well, I have one question, but Rob kind of stole it already. So, to be honest, I really don't have anything.
You're in high school.
I am.
And so do people in your class, people in your age bracket, do they talk about suicide?
No.
Stephanie, should they be talking about suicide? Should they have those conversations?
Well, we do know that young people are a little bit more apt to talk about mental health than their parents and generations before, because it's a lot more prevalent. They have a lot more resources and access to social media and different things. So we do know that they're talking about it a little bit more. However, there's still a lot of stigma associated with it as well. So, you know, even though it's a little bit more prevalent out there in terms of communication, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And there aren't enough, I guess, safe places or safe people for students to really talk to about some of the challenges that they are having. So there are a couple of initiatives that would be helpful. So there's an initiative called the Blue Envelope that's in schools. That's a free service through Corewell Health that schools can utilize as a protocol for, you know, so equipping staff with, you know, the tools and resources that they need to intervene. And then there's also Hope Squads, which is a peer-led group that's starting up in a lot of the schools, to where students kind of vote on the student that they would feel most comfortable talking to. So it's not like a popularity contest. It's more like who in this classroom, if you had a problem, you would feel most comfortable talking with. And so then those students take up the role of being support for their peers, and they work on different initiatives. And so if they are in that space, they will at least have someone to talk to. Youth can also reach out to Health West. Any youth can reach out to the Health West warm line 24 hours a day. They can do this without parental consent, so they can do this on their own for a certain period of time. Now, if it's going to involve medication or anything like that, then they would have to get their parent permission. But if they are struggling, they can call our warm line, which is 231-722-HELP.
231-722-HELP. Stephanie Williams here from Health West, Muskegon. Black community, what is the rates looking like in our community?
We did have a town hall last year called Raising Black Voices, because we do know that the rates are increasing for Blacks and for youth. The numbers are still not as high as the other demographics. So when you look at some of the statistics and you see different races, the whites and American Indian, they are going to be very high up on the scale for suicide. Blacks and African Americans are still showing up as the lowest, but that can be very misleading, because we do know that in terms of depression, mental health, and suicide attempts, that our Black youth are trending at the same rate as our white youth.
Wow. So when it comes to suicide attempts, Kevontae, you're in high school. Do you have that conversation came up, or some kid that you know about have tried to commit suicide?
No, I do not know a kid who has tried to commit suicide.
Right. Well, so it happens, but a lot of times the general public don't really know that this person died from suicide, right?
Yeah, a lot of times they don't know, and a lot of times the family is really private about it. There are situations where you mentioned earlier where it could be classified as a drug overdose or something other than suicide. So we do know that there are a lot more suicides than we probably know about.
I don't think some insurance company is not going to give you some of the benefits that they know are suicide.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be a motive of trying to, you know, hide the truth. How do we prevent this? You know, how do we lower the cases? What are we missing?
I think training, talking about it, being, you know, I would say just a lot more relationship building in terms of making sure that people do have someone that they can reach out to. A lot of times people feel alone and they don't have anyone to talk to. One of the things that I think doesn't help is when you have a lot of people, there's a lot of mistrust in the media, medical systems. There's people don't know what to believe. You know, everything is killing us, right? Everything we eat, everything we put on our bodies, everything we put in our hair, you know, everything's killing us. And so what I've been hearing a lot of lately is that you hear people saying, well, if that person just take, you know, certain vitamins, then that's going to eliminate all of their problems.
Oh, wow.
So I think when people talk like that, that is contributing to the stigma, because in my opinion, when you imply that a healthy diet is going to ward off, you know, your mental health problems and cure you, you know, that puts the blame on a person that somehow, you know, they are kind of responsible for their condition, right? And so we do know that physical exercise, good diet, proper sleep, all of that is going to be really important, but those are just one little aspect of what's going on, one piece of the puzzle, because there's so many other factors that can be impacting that person's mental health: genetics, environment, stress, medical conditions. So just saying, oh, you need to take a fish oil pill, or you need to just take this vitamin, really oversimplifies the complexity of this thing, right? And again, it leads people to feel blamed and about things that are beyond their control. It stops people from seeking help because they feel like it's something that they can do on their own. So when we have our trainings, we put it on the medical model and we just let people know it's not about the fact that you're not working hard enough, you're not praying hard enough, you're not disciplined enough. Like, these mental health issues and substance use issues, these are about our brains at some point. And a brain is, you know, an organ like any other organ in our bodies. And sometimes it doesn't work the way that we wish that it would work, of course. But there are things that we can do to recover from things, just as you would recover from another physical ailment.
We got an online comment. The emoji got blocked, but Donnie McGowan, who is a fitness guru, says, is what you eat is very important. And I've heard that from fitness and psychologists and social workers who say your diet, staying healthy, does affect your brain. Like, I know for me, when I get on the bicycle and ride, or when I get on the treadmill, or when I do some weights, I find that my mental clarity becomes better.
Traveling, absolutely.
traveling has been like a lifesaver for me. I travel for therapy. And it has been able, I'm able to tolerate Big Rob now when I travel. Imagine being stuck with him 7 days a week and the kind of energy he got. I'll be a statistic. I mean, but it's therapy. Different things can be therapy. So what are your thoughts on food being a therapy?
I believe absolutely that is all going to be really good for our brains. Our diet, our exercise, our mental, emotional health, all of that is impacted by our diet and the things that we put our bodies through. The reason why I brought it up earlier was just to say that there are some people who are going to eat all the right foods. They're going to exercise. They're going to do things that they're supposed to do. And then they're going to still have issues. And so that lets us know that all of these things are protective factors, but nothing is going, it's not a one size fit all. So taking a particular vitamin that might work for one person may not work for the next person because we're all different. And so it's not a one size fit all. So each individual will have to find out what's going to work for that person. So talk therapy may work for someone. Whereas, mindfulness or meditation or things like that might work, better for the next person. Wow. So medication might work for someone. It really all depends on what issues are.
I would love to see a vegetarian vegan compared to people who eat, regular, just to see the stats on that. Before we go, Kevante has a question or a comment, and wherever that is, you'll be our last one, Kevante. It's on you, brother.
Well, it wasn't a question. I was just trying to add on to telling opening up your problems to adults or any people like that. I feel like if people got mental health problems, I feel like, in my opinion, a therapist could work, but at the same time, most therapists haven't went through what you went through, so they kind of just don't understand. Even though they're trained, but I feel like it's better to talk to somebody who has been through what you've been through,
Cause you talked to therapists before.
Right. I have. It wasn't really that helpful, to be honest, but Rob is perfect.
He can relate to
everything that I've been through. Cause he's been through it too.
Right.
And I feel like that'll help most people. Like suicide issues and overdose and smoking issues and stuff like that.
Wow. Another comment from Danny McDonald. Yeah. He was making a health statement. It's not just that food that we eat making our body on chemical balance. So it's definitely your last comment before we go.
Right. I was going to say that with what the student said, absolutely. You have to have a comfort level and a rapport with the person that would be the therapist for you. And it's not always easy, to find that person that's going to be that fit for you in terms of the relatability and all of that kind of stuff, because we do know that their peers are very powerful. So anyone that have that lived experience, that have been through things, those are really, people who are going to understand exactly what a person is going through. And so that's why there are lots of different peers when it comes to substance use, mental health, and things like that. I would say if you have a therapist, it's not working, it is worth maybe finding a different one. I will say from personal experience, I have a daughter, teenager. She talked to a therapist, and the first two sessions, She told me, I want to quit. I'm not, it's not helping me. I don't like my therapist and all of these things. And I made her stick with it for a few more sessions. And it really made the whole difference. Next thing you know, she formed that alliance with her therapist. It helped her tremendously. She loved the experience. So sometimes it's about giving it a chance.
Wow. Well, I got to take this comment from Big Sister who worked in Health West, I believe, Linda Vines. Yes, proper food, nutrition, and water is medicine for the body, along with exercise. Therapy can help if you're open to it. Support of family and friends is essential. Black people are reluctant to open up to therapists until they feel that connection. It takes time. Stephanie, we could talk about this for a long time. It's a much needed conversation. You know, you're welcome to come back, not just once a month. You're welcome to come on because I realize I'm seeing the numbers and I communicate with Mike a lot. We want to continue to talk about this, not just doing your slot on Wednesdays, on the third Wednesday. So you just hit me up, Big Rob up, hit Janae up, Q89. We'll make it happen because it's important to have this conversation, okay?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Anything you want to say before we go?
Well, I always like to tag our warm line. So anyone having any issues, they can call 231-722-HELP 24 hours a day. That is also the crisis line as well. So anyone that calls 988, they're going to get routed to our crisis line. So.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. WBSLP 103.7 Muskegon, Muskegon Heights.